I'm Mike Vardy.
Meal planning is important because it prevents us from being a disappointed wreck when dinner time comes around and we have no clue what to make, or even if we have the ingredients to make the meal. It's a time and a money saver, but most importantly, it frees up valuable brain space. Creating a meal plan prepares us for the week to come and gives us peace of mind that we're organized and can feed ourselves and our family. That's why I do it, and that's why Plan to Eat helps me do it. Your subscription includes access to the Plan to Eat website and fully featured mobile apps on iOS and Android. And Plan to Eat gives you the tools to clip and organize recipes from any website, the ones your family loves and that fit your dietary preferences and needs. And you can create a meal plan around your schedule. Then what happens is the Plan to Eat software automatically creates an organized shopping list based on your plan. So sign up for your free trial at plantoeat.com/timecrafting. That's plantoeat.com/timecrafting. The coupon will be automatically applied to your account and can be used when you're ready to subscribe. It's valid for new customers only. Give Plan to Eat a try today.
And this is the Productivityist Podcast. Welcome to the Productivityist Podcast. I am your host, Mike Vardy, and this week's a bit different. You're going to get a longer episode. Because what we did was we had a blab. I do a blab every 2 weeks with Steve Dotto of Dotto Tech and Eric Fisher of Beyond the To-Do List. And usually Eric uses those for his podcast. Now, the audio is going to be a bit different because it's coming direct from blab. So keep that in mind as you listen to this episode in terms of audio. John, my podcast producer, will do as much as possible to clean it up. But I wanted to use this episode because it's about priority. And that's something I'm very passionate about. Because I think that that's something that we tend to get caught up in either not delivering on or getting, you know, stuck with what our needs and our wants need to be. And this has a lot to do with the Now Your Method that I talk about. So I wanted to use this as an episode for all of you. And the cool thing about this blab is it starts to dive into the themed days approach that I talk about, which is an element of the Now Your Method. And it gets animated. And I really enjoyed the interaction, of course, because again, this is a blab that's coming from. So you're going to see people, we're going to refer to things that are happening in the chat room, all that stuff. If you want to watch it, I'll throw the link into the notes here for the replay. You should be able to watch the replay depending on when you're listening to this. But I wanted to capture this for posterity's sake, because I think it's really important to hear how I go through this stuff. And if you're a Patreon supporter, the next bonus episode you're going to hear is a walkthrough of a themed day. The themed day, in fact, the day that I recorded this. So it'd be a Wednesday. So, but nonetheless, I want you to, if you're a Patreon supporter, you're going to get that. If not, you're getting this whole blab regardless. So I had a great time talking with Steve, a great time talking with Eric, as always. And I really enjoyed this and I wanted to bring it all to you as an episode. So without further ado, let's get into the prioritization discussion with Steve Dotto and Eric Fisher in a blab we did not too long ago, depending on when you're listening to this, of course, here on the Productivityist Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to our Productivity Powerhouse. I am Steve Dotto, and I'm joined by Eric Fisher, whose most famous namesake is a chess player, and Mike Vardy, whose most famous namesake is a soccer player in England for Worcestershire City.
Leicester City.
I think you mean football.
And my most famous namesake is...
You.
Me.
You.
I guess there's not a lot of Dottos out there. There is. Actually, Lydia Dotto is a very famous journalist in Canada, a wonderful writer for the Globe and Mail. So I will claim her as my namesake. So Mike put forward as is usual with our Productivity Powerhouse panel, it's the Shoemaker's Kids. We aren't necessarily as organized in this little conversation as we probably should be, but I think it's kind of cute that we're not. I'll go with cute. But Mike put forward the idea of priorities as our topic for today, and Eric said, "Sounds like a good idea." And me, not wanting to rock the boat, said, "Sure." So Mike, lead on.
So one of the things that I find that we struggle with, and I hear a lot about this, is the term priorities. You know, like how do I've got this list of things I want to do, but how do I prioritize that list? What do I do to make sure that I'm doing the right things at the right time? Like, how do I figure that stuff out? And again, like any other strategy, a lot of people will say, well, what tool will help me do this? What's the, which app will let me know what priority I need to do? Like, how do I prioritize within the app? I could tell you more than anything else in terms of my experience with productivity is that, as I've always said, the approach is more important than the app. And it's never more important than when you're trying to prioritize, because you need to have a framework in place if you're going to use, whether using paper or digital, that allows you to see what essentially what the next action is, whether it's a need to do or a want to do. Eric, I just want to start with you. What do you do to figure to shine a spotlight on the priority? And I want to talk about priority over priorities initially, because you and I both, we've all read Essentialism, right? Steve, have you read it?
No.
Okay. Essentialism, the word priority, by the way, never had a pluralization until the Industrial Revolution, until they said that, until some company came along and said, hey, you know what? We want people to be more productive. Let's give them more than one of these priorities, which is, again, priority literally means the next thing. So there are, you know, you can't have more than one of those. And what's happened is we've all of a sudden said, let's have 20 priorities for the day. Merlin Mann's famously said, if you have more than, you know, if you have 20 priorities in days, you have zero. So Eric, how do you kind of shine a spotlight on your priority of the day and making sure that you shift from priority to priority as you go throughout the day?
Well, didn't you just contradict yourself where you said
priority? No.
Because we should change the word then. We should start changing the word. Instead of priority, which is the next thing, we should be talking about our focuses.
But you see,
or our emphases.
But here's the thing, is that what I said by priority to priority, as soon as you are done the first priority, you can have a new priority.
Well, there's a lot of language and a lot of semantics here then.
Sure.
Because that's exactly it, is like you saying that and prefacing it with what you said, where there was that people invented multiple ones. I didn't just assume you had completed one fully and then moved on to the next one. It was that you were shifting from one to the other.
Right.
As honestly, we often have to do, because we are juggling things.
Yeah.
So
the word juggling,
it's a very good point.
Together, doesn't it?
Point. Yeah.
The words juggling and priority go together like party and Vardy.
So
that's a terrible moment, folks.
And I think that's the thing. I think that for me, gosh, there's the overarching, like, priority in one sense to me means the theme or the overall, like, thrust, or not just the thrust, but it's the end destination, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'm butchering this. For me, priority is like, what is the thing that is most important out of everything else? But we all know there's no one singular, the way that in real life, I can't just say, okay, I have this list of five things that are like most important. They're all very important, but probably one of them's most important. You know what I mean? And so ranking them and figuring out which one is higher and shifting them. Like, so for example, we all know that, you know, our livelihood, something that pays our bills, in other words, our job, our career, et cetera, that is very important. But again, something's going to shift if suddenly my kid is like in the hospital.
Right.
And though they always have the highest priority because they are, you know, much more meaningful than just my day-to-day work. It's a relationship. One that I created, most likely, from in one sense or another, it shifts, and so I'm more holistic in it these days. I used to be of the mindset that, like Merlin, where it's like, well, if you have more than one priority, then you really have no priorities. You're just shifting in the wind. But I'm more realistic in saying that, no, we live in that wind. Like, life is. Like, you have to have some structure, but life is messy, exactly. And you can't just – you have to have that middle ground of, okay, here's these hard, fast things that I am clinging to that are priority, and yet here's life, and they affect each other. So how do I stay on task, on track? And I think that's what most people are asking, is when they ask, how do I organize my priorities? How do I figure out what I'm supposed to do next? It's because life keeps handing them new things or different things.
How do you indicate that? Because, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I think that there's that. I think the reason that Merlin probably says things like that, or I said is because he wants to draw attention to it, because he wants to make people think about it, right? Like, you know, there's no absolute in it, right? In fact, the fact that I said, what do you do when you finish one priority, you want to move on to the next, right? It's a bit contradictory. But how do you make sure that, okay, so you get pulled away. And Steve, this is a great question for you too. You get pulled away from the thing that you really want to get done today. Or, you know, and we'll talk about urgent important in a minute, because I think that's very important to discuss, no pun intended. How do you signify, how do you pull yourself back into that priority if you get pulled away by a distraction or a disruption? How do you do it, Eric?
Okay.
Steve, you go first. Go ahead.
Yeah, because I'll try and answer that. But the reality is, for me, the word priority, I think probably I misunderstood it when I was born or when I was taught language. Because for me, priorities don't refer to tasks for the day. Like, I don't have a priority today. For me, priorities are probably more goal-oriented than anything. For example, I make list building a priority, which means that every day it's a theme that it's something that I make sure I spend time on in my business. So I set priorities that way, and I feel really guilty about adding the damn S to the end of the word, but I set my priorities based on long-term goals as opposed to short-term. Stuff that's immediate is, you know, that has to happen today. Like today, is doing this blab a priority? No, it's a scheduled item. It's overall important to me, but it's not one of those things that I have to pay attention to. Priorities are things that I have to pay attention to through discipline on an ongoing basis. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And I think that, let's put it this way, Steve, an example to me would be like my kids go to school, that we walk to school every morning at like 8:30. The blab is going on during while the kids are going to school. So I have to decide what's more important. What's my priority? Is it, again, we're getting a bit.
Okay. Okay.
We're getting a bit smaller about it, but I could say, is it more important that I take the kids to school, or is it more important that I'm here? Right, like that's what do I place priority on,
sorry, Eric, how the hell do we get questions back now? What's going on with blab?
They're not showing up.
I just, by the way, if you're ever in a blab and stuff like that happens, you can type /help, and Blab Stud, who just jumped in, said they've been removed for the moment. So I haven't seen them for about a week and a half to 2 weeks now. So okay. I don't know when they're coming back, okay. But we will track your questions as best we can.
Okay. They are showing
regularly scheduled programming.
Right. They are showing up in the sidebar with the queue on them, though. Yeah, so
we can scroll back and we can find them.
But if we miss your question, then
but so we can't display them either.
Right. So for example, now if my wife said, hey, I have to get to work early today, then the choice becomes, okay, do I let the kids walk to school by themselves or do I go with them? So you're right. There's always this shifting priority, but well, I think one of the best ways
I completely disagree with that. If we're talking about global priorities, you might make in your life a priority to walk your kids to school. Yeah. In which case, you make every effort to make sure that that's part and parcel of your daily grind when you can do it. I don't think we have if you set that as a priority, engaging with your kids and doing that, that becomes a priority to me. That's where that word sets in my brain.
Fair point. But we meet every two Wednesdays. So that is the exception to the rule, right? Do you know what I mean? So for example, every other day that happens, and my kids have the expectation that they know on every other Wednesday, that's not going to happen. So you're right. I think, but priorities can't be, like you said, and Eric said this, they can't be just so cut and dried. You have to say because things do happen, and you have to think either globally on a larger spectrum, I want to spend as much time with my kids as possible, or hey, I want to, you know, do this thing because I want to chat with my, you know, with the audience and such. Right.
So for me, priorities are related to goals. Priorities are the mechanisms that enable goals to happen. So they're the touch points, they're those key things that enable a goal to be accomplished ultimately. So that's how so bringing technology into play in something that's that is the word ephemeral. That's that kind of a soft thing. I think is ludicrous. I don't ever think of software helping me or engaging or any technology helping me determine or even make my priorities. It's all about discipline.
And I agree with you that they shouldn't make the priorities happen. It's more to draw your attention back in when you're getting – if you have 50 things on your to-do list, you may want to have – like that's why I theme my day.
So something like Google's new goals in their Google Calendar. that becomes a tool that can help one honor their priorities.
Right. Or the proper filters in Todoist or flags in OmniFocus if you use them discreetly, or even flags in Todoist or whatever.
They're related to it. That would take a lot of organization for you to have like a flag that was related to your priorities.
Well, except
Laura's got my answer.
Laura Stars and Nosby, right? So, but the point is that as long as this is where you're right, Steve, technology can assist you, but you can't make it the ruler. It has to be the guide. So you could say, okay, this is what stars mean to me in Nosby. Stars mean that this is a priority. That's what it means every single time. It doesn't matter what star. As soon as I see a star, it's the same thing in Gmail. If you have a starred Gmail message, you know it's a message that's a priority to you, right? Versus, and Hectic Dad's right. I'm seeing, you know, what there's a difference between what I'm supposed to work on right now and what should be working on long term. So daily priorities of the day or the priority of the day could be very different than the priority of the week or the month. But they should all be related to the much larger goals that you're talking about, Steve. So I think that it's important to recognize that, but you cannot, you're right, you cannot trust technology to keep your priority levels in check. You need to actively do that.
Technology can be obviously it's a tool, but it can be an assist, but it can't do all the work. You have to do a lot of the work yourself. And I think that's where I'm coming from is there's the higher and highest overarching like themes and, for lack of a better word, priorities that are the highest of high, like those don't change. And yet then it's how do I drill those down into the season, the month, the week, the day, and let those shift. I mean, if physical health is a priority for me and I have it mapped out on my calendar at the certain day and certain time to go do it, that's great. However, then if something comes up, then at least I have that mapped out in place that, so for example, today when I had to step in and take my son to preschool because my daughter had to go to an optometry appointment that my wife was taking her to, then I knew, okay, it's not going to kill me to not go this morning. I'll try and fit it in later if I can't, because other things that are more important are there and done, then one day won't matter, but many days will. Does
so
that make sense?
I just recorded a demo, which hasn't been published yet, for Google Calendar Goals. And what you're describing to me sounds exactly like what Google is trying to put forward in their goals. It's where you set a schedule of events that you want to do on an ongoing basis. So if it's fitness, it's, you know, walking every day, setting it aside. And the cool thing about that app, I don't know if everybody's played with it, is it looks at your calendar and then it slots your goal, aka priority, in available time when you don't have something scheduled that is a Uber priority or whatever we want to call it, but is an actual appointment. Have you used it? Has anybody else used it yet?
I've looked at it. I don't like putting that stuff into the calendar unless I'm missing it a lot.
Okay, so we're talking about creating reminders of things which are your priorities. And the thing about the goals, the way that Google Calendar does it, is they think we're all children, so we need feedback. We need, you know, a pat on the back that we're, you know, 72% of the time we attained our goals for the week and that sort of stuff.
I think for me,
says, I'll try that. No, Firewind says, okay, Dad, I'll try. Well,
I think for me, getting things into the calendar is the last resort of, this is where I kind of follow the GTD.
I'm amazed that you have anything on your freaking calendar at all, Vardy, because you hate putting everything on your calendar.
I do. But the one thing I have on my calendar every single
day. Dates.
No, my daily themes. So that's a priority, right? Yes, I have a theme for every single day. I've talked about this before. I mean, today is Wednesday. Wednesday is my audio video day. The priority of the day is for me to work on audio and video work, period. There are other things that I will need to do, but ultimately my priority for the day is to get audio and video done. And when I do that, I get 6 episodes of the podcast ready to go. And all of a sudden, I can then make a decision the following Wednesday. Do I want to work on audio? Do I want to work on video? So by theming those days, it gives me an overarching focus, like you talked about earlier, Steve. Mm-hmm. And the things that are on my calendar are things like this blab. I have an interview later. That's on my calendar. I have a lunch. That's on my calendar because those are specific appointments, and I don't want to miss those. Now, if I suck at exercise, which I have in the past, and I want to make sure, and I put it in Todoist initially, and it doesn't get done, and I see that because I'm looking at my to-do list regularly, then it's like, what's the problem here? I'm not getting it done. Do I either keep trying to leave it in Todoist, or do I move it to my calendar? And that's where I could see goals coming into play.
That's what I was getting at. And in fact, I dropped the link in here. Dave Delaney had a thing called the killer calendar. He talked with me about it on my show recently. And essentially, that is what that is where when something is that much of a priority, but you're struggling to spend the consistent time on getting it moved forward, whatever that means, whether it's knocking out tasks that are part of a larger project, or in the case we're talking about now, which is making sure you have an appointment with yourself to do that physical activity and work out, you actually calendar it. And I'm finding that by having that on my calendar, then I treat it with a higher priority because the calendar is so sacred to me.
Right. And I think that we're seeing some chat in the chat room between Laura and Hectic Dab, where basically it's, you know, there is that absolute element of getting things done methodology that says only appointments go on the calendar, but you can make appointments with yourself. If you want to not deviate from that methodology, because basically, Eric, that's making an appointment with yourself. Mm-hmm. That's saying, you know, that's an agreement that you are making in the past, or that you all of a sudden see like a week later that you feel like if you break it, then you're ruining the sacred aspect of your calendar.
Right.
And so that's why my themes are there. I like having broader perspectives to look at because, as we talked about, things shift throughout the day. And when I want to know, hey, what's the next thing that I want to work on? I have these daily themes. And then, of course, I have the monthly theme and then the yearly words.
Well, and I have a follow up then. Go ahead, Steve.
I'm curious, Mike, as to how often your theme gets blown up. Like, what percentage of time do you actually manage to do your theme? I mean, because a theme is kind of nebulous.
70% of the time, easily.
It gets blown up?
No, 70% of the time I get to follow it.
Okay.
So for example,
70% success rate.
Yeah. And it depends on, again.
Now, do you classify today as successful audio video because we did this
plan?
Because I'm telling you that's not.
This is audio and video.
No. But here's the thing is in Todoist, I have labels that are related to my theme. So I can see what tasks I look at that and say, okay, this is Wednesday. It shows me all my audio and video tasks that I want to do. Right. And then that's where I will work off that filter in Todoist. So I make sure I fulfill all that stuff. So Steve,
what's the purpose? Like, do you have a goal attached? Do you have a certain number of podcasts, a certain number of blogs? Does it apply to the schedule? If you've recorded a podcast today, does that then satisfy your need? What about if we're doing a course and you've got a whole bunch of video work to do? Do you wait till Wednesday to do it for that?
But here's the thing. Generally, because I'm proactive. So, for example, if I get 6 podcasts done today and I have 5 podcast interviews already in the can, plus I've got 5 bonus. If I do all 10 of those. Just saying that. But that allows me to be proactive, right? Then I can say, okay, you know what? The following Wednesday, I can work on videos, whether it's stuff that needs to be done that week or, you know, whether I want to do it for months down the road. So I think that you mentioned that it's about goals and thinking about things in the longer term. That's what those daily themes do. It doesn't happen right away. And you're right. Initially, getting one video done and one podcast done on a Wednesday, if I get one of those things, like let's say I get those 2 things done and that's it, right? And the rest of the day is overridden by coaching calls and all that stuff. Would I still consider the day a success? It wouldn't be a great success.
Obviously, you're not Steve's priority right now.
But what it would be is...
Snapchat. I'm onto it. I'm in it like you wouldn't believe.
But what it would be...
I gotta snap this. Go ahead.
But what it would be... What's the priority right now, Steve? Listening to me or freaking Snapchatting?
My priority with you is always the same, Mike, to make your life as uncomfortable as humanly possible.
Steve is a living metaphor distraction.
But the thing is that if I have coaching calls lined up on Wednesday for some reason, which sometimes happens, it doesn't happen very often anymore because I've protected that time. If I end up only getting 2 podcasts done that day, but I still got a lot of things done, I wouldn't consider the day to be a super success, but I'd say, hey, look, I didn't deviate from the theme. It's there to guide me. And so I think that that's important, is if you want to move your priorities forward, is to have that, have anchors there that your brain can kind of go to instead of seeing 50 things on your list and going, what next? Oh, I've got, because what happens with the stars and Nosby and the flags and Todoist and the, you know, stars and Gmail is you start starring everything and you start flagging everything. And then your brain goes, okay, well now what? So again, the themes kind of help me corral that a little bit in. And then, yeah, you're right. Audio video. If I have a lot of audio video to do, I could say, well, what's my monthly theme? My monthly theme is to work on this course. Okay, well, then let me do the video and audio for this course. So it didn't happen overnight, but it does allow me to move things forward and keep me moving the right things forward on a regular basis. That's all. So my calendar is actually technically full. I could look at it that way.
Sorry, Mike, I didn't hear a thing you said. I was busy snapping here. Could you repeat that?
Good thing you can watch the recording.
Yes.
I multitasked. It's not my fault, folks. Fanzo and Zimmerman got me into Snapchat when I was in Victoria, and I hated it, and thanks, I still kind of hate it.
Thanks, but I'm to everybody still, I'm for listening, obsessed. Other than Steve. Eric, you were listening to. I love that.
I listened to
You're welcome. You're welcome.
And for those of you who are on Snapchat, they're only getting like 10-second bites of me talking, and it's going to – they'll stitch it together. It'll make no sense.
Thing on the planet. I do not understand its appeal at all. But what the heck? Who am I? I don't understand your systems either, Mike, when it comes right to when the truth be known. That's why I do this.
Mike and I are both on Snapchat as well, by the way.
So let's talk about urgent and important stuff because
I'm trying to remember what the heck my follow-up question was to your themed days. I had a good question. Well, it was something along the lines of you've got a themed day. I think mm-hmm. that's great. I have Monday and Friday on my calendar are semi-themed. They're not – anyway, I won't go into that. That's not even where I want to go.
I do have a question.
I'm finishing this question.
Let Eric get it out, Steve.
I've got to get it out.
Okay. No,
he's trying.
No, so my question is, how structured is your themed day? Because do you have a checklist of what you want to get done that all fall in that theme, or do you just kind of – today is my theme of audio. God. Let me get done what I get done. No, as long as it's all audio, video.
I'm so glad we're recording this today.
I know, right?
No, what it is.
Share that last 30 seconds right there, people.
Yeah, yeah.
God. No. So, Eric, you know that I use tools to help me keep all the stuff that's come up in here and come from elsewhere into an organized fashion. I have labels, tags, modes, whatever you want to call them, that have the themes attached to them. So if I have something like here's a great example. Steve, I want to get you on my podcast. Okay. Do you want to be on my podcast at any point in time? No. Okay, great. That was an audio task.
Of course.
But that was a task in Todoist that's audio. So I can check that off. It's grouped together. So
in terms of,
when I'm looking at Todoist, I have filters set up by daily themes.
I can say, your daily themes are like me cleaning the kitchen. Shan comes in and she looks, this is a mess. I put the milk away. I clean.
So the thing is, Eric, to your point, is that I don't just sit here and go, what audio things can I do? It's what have I already captured mm-hmm. that's related to this? I mean, so audio for me is also doing show notes because it's related to the podcast. Okay. So it's about, you know, personalizing that. So no, I don't go in with this, you know, kind of ephemeral kind of, oh, let me just feel right. the audio flow today. Like, no, it's structured.
Feel the audio flow. That's great. Right. Feel the flow. That is okay. The name of my next podcast.
So I got a question for you. Mike, you're a little bit OCD. Just you got a touch of that happening. Do you need to have themes for every day? Like, could you have a themeless day? Or would you feel like once you decided to theme up the days, do they have to follow a rhythm? Do they have to? And is this a little bit of that maybe bubbling to the surface?
No, here's okay. So people have said, what if I want a free day? Then I go, then call it a free day.
But you don't have the same number of audio visual day. What are your five theme days? Just so I have
five. There's 7 days in a week.
Oh, of course there are. What are your seven theme days then?
Welcome Monday to the Productivity Powerhouse Intervention.
Monday is admin.
Right. Lay down Monday, on the couch, Mike. I'm gonna snap this. Go ahead. Go.
Monday is admin. Tuesday is writing. Wednesday is audio video. Thursday is writing. Friday is learning. Saturday is family. Sunday is planning.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Now, by getting admin and planning done, then you know what has to happen on those other days that aren't the family day. Yep. Or I'm assuming you still are doing some admin and you're doing some admin and planning that fall under the category of family on those days also. So,
yes. Yep. There you go. And honestly, if for people who don't have family, they've said, well, what if I want to be spontaneous? I'm like, well, then make call. The problem is
then swap the days.
Yeah. But Saturday
call it a different thing.
So here's an example. Saturday, people say, well, why do you call it family day? Can't you just call it a free day? I'm like, or just not call it anything. But Saturday doesn't mean anything to me. Saturday is just Saturday. Your brain goes, oh, it's Saturday. Well, what do I do? But if I say Saturday is family day, I do stuff that's family centric, period. The reason I do this is because I have so many things that I need and want to do. It's very simple, really.
Like,
it's
Marty, you bring so much joy to my life. The chat group is having a field day with you today.
Of course they are. Of course they are.
Are you the only person on the planet that does this?
No.
No,
Is this part of your Now Year book? Because I haven't read it, I got to admit. Is this part of the Now Year?
It's part of the Now Year method. Thank you, Megabyte does this. Thank you, Hectic Dad. Eric, you do it.
I do it to a certain extent. And in fact, as I move more forward in theming my days, I do the right things in the right timetable. So,
And Laura and I had a really good conversation about this on, I think it was on my show. I can't remember, Laura, maybe it was either mine or hers, where she was basically saying, you know, like, how do I do this? Because she was saying, I have a dynamic day. That's great. You have a dynamic day. What about when you get home from your crazy day? Instead of coming home and just watching Netflix, if your Tuesday is, it's reading day, then when you get home, you know what you're going to do. You're going to read. Right. And then the spontaneity can be, well, what am I going to read? Am I going to read? I go to Goodreads to see all the books that are there. I can do that stuff. I think that there's an element of Steve, you can call it OCD, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. The point is I wasn't trying to be cruel, actually.
I know you weren't.
It's because some people, here's the thing. Frameworks foster freedom. Right. So as far as I'm concerned, if you have a framework in place, then you can make decisions within that framework. Right. Like if you're in a room, you're not going to put put the television set in the bathroom. But, when you're setting up your room, you could say, OK, where do I want this furniture to go? You can make that decision based on, but you can't change. You're not going to knock down walls necessarily. You're going to say, I want to move this stuff around based on the room I'm in. I'm going to, that's how I look at this. Like each of these days is kind of like I'm going into my reading day or plant learning day. Friday was learning day. I was at social media camp on Saturday. I took some of my learning tasks and moved them to Saturday because family day wasn't happening that day. And I just swapped the days. That's all. So it makes it very simple for me to do it. It's just when you have so much to do and you're working from home, that's another thing too, is it keeps me focused as well as what I can do when I'm at home. Because this place is full of distraction and diversion.
Well, that's another question I was thinking of was this whole idea of this is great for us who are at home where we can kind of dictate our own schedule to a certain extent. But what about people who have their schedule or their priorities handed to them, dictated to them? How do they adapt? How do they schedule? How do they line up their priorities and make that compromise?
To Laura said no learning on Friday. I know you're being reductive. I know you're having fun, but that's not true.
Today's not Friday. Nobody's learning anything from this.
Right. Yeah. See, it's not, again, it's like saying, I don't deal with absolutes. Only the Sith deal in absolutes. Sorry, that was a total nerd reference. Oh, but the point is that my overarching focus on a Friday is learning. So I will watch, Snapchat. So Steve, Sue Zimmerman shared about Instagram on at social media camp.
Yes.
I grabbed all her stuff. I said, on Friday, I'm going to put a task in to do is to learn as much about Instagram as I can. Spend 25 minutes on Instagram. Spend 25 minutes learning about Instagram. And I put that in my task list. And immediately I know what day I would want to focus on that, which would be a Friday. Instead of just assigning it a random day and pushing it to the next day and the next day, or not putting a day on it at all, I said, every Friday I want to spend 25 minutes learning more about Instagram. And I'm going to learn about it from Sue. That will help me slowly and measurably build up my knowledge of Instagram and then apply it. Right. So that's where that went. So I didn't have to think about when I'm going to learn it. I didn't think about where it had to go. I just said, hey, I want to learn more about Instagram. I'm going to learn it from Sue. I've been given all these resources. Let me link to Sue's site, say spend time learning about Instagram.
effort and be deliberate, 25 minutes, let's say, or whatever it is, and then put it on Friday and make it repeat every single Friday. And then I can decide, right? Does that make sense? I know it sounds.
It does. One thing that Cliff says here is he agrees working from home can make it harder. So he prefers to plan his day more tightly than you, Mike, but not over plan. And I think that's the thing is that, Mike, what was it you said? There was something about structure breeds freedom. Is that what it was?
Frameworks foster freedom.
Frameworks foster freedom. And I would say that even the people who are adverse to structuring or over-structuring are still putting some amount of structure and living by some amount of structure. And so, yes, that's right, Friar Wade. Friar Wade says frameworks foster freedom.
So here is my question about this, because obviously I'm the one coming from left field on this, because I have managed somehow to be productive in my life without all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if there's productivity personalities, if we need like a Briggs and Stratton or
I think there is
and Hicks test or whatever, or Myers-Briggs test for productivity people, that some people, like, it seems to me, Mike, that you need that framework to work within in order to be productive. Is there a place? Because the reason that I don't theme my days, even though I block off and I do have goals, I set publishing schedules and stuff that I work towards. But the pressure that it puts on me and the disappointment I feel in myself if I don't apply that theme that day, if I get distracted or get off on a tangent or do something else, or something else pops up, that tends to make me feel, even though I've gotten a lot done that day, that I was somehow a failure. So that's why I don't do it, because I don't want to set expectations. I'd rather just celebrate. Wow, I got, you know, I wasn't planning on doing this video, but this new product was released. We nailed this video. We got it out. It's great. Now, maybe something slipped, but I would rather celebrate what I did because I pretty much got a nonstop motor than what I didn't do. Am I missing something here?
No, I think that there are definite productivity personality types. You Google it, you see that the Prick the Brain's got a link, Life Hacked did one. There's a bunch of others out there. They sometimes Yeah, they're sometimes attached.
Does it have a cool name with Myers in it? With the word Myers,
they actually use the Myers Briggs kind of as a guide for it. But I think that what has to happen is, in order for you to discover what personality type you are, you need to start somewhere, and that's why you need to start with a very simple. Like, I mean, that's why you need to start simply. A lot of people, what they do is they pick up a book like Getting Things Done, and they start reading it, and they go, "I have to do all of this? No." And they put it aside, and then they start going back to old habits. Whereas if that's why I like the idea of doing.
Hectic Dad has the best personality type.
Confused. What did you say? Confused. Yeah. but that's why I like the idea of themed days, because you could start broad and then narrow it down. If it doesn't work for you, then you can say, you know what? I need to have a more structured day. So I'm going to use the calendar and I'm going to structure it that way. Some people like to have the Eisenhower matrix, which is popularized as the Covey matrix. Some people like to use Agile and Kanban.
I just like the trilogy matrix.
Right. Now, as for you, well, except the third one really sucks.
I like the Back to the Future trilogy.
I think another thing for you is you have your overarching focus most days is to make video, isn't it? You're in front of a green screen for crying out loud.
Your theme, see that's your thing there, Steve. You have a theme that overarches many, many days. Like, that's majority of the days. It's like, and like me, like, I have three or four different things that I almost have to do every single day. That's why my Monday and my Friday are a little different, but I have, you know, it's almost like, okay, I've got my reps or my intervals in on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I still do those on Monday and Wednesday, but I do them to a much lower extent. I mean, confused you all.
I think that, so Steve, it's kind of like a story arc, right? Where there's the long story that's, and then there's like little blips along the way. Yours is, I mean, you make video and the thing is, you do that so well and you do that so consistently. That's your productivity. That's how there are probably other things that, go ahead.
I feel a day is well done when I've published. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. That's absolutely great, right? You know, and I think that I feel great when I look at my day and I'm like, yes, I lived up to the theme of that day.
To loop back, because my priority is content. Mm-hmm. My priority is content and building community. And, you know, it's all nested in there. Let's stop talking about us for a moment and let's talk about this idea. I like, you know, priorities and themes have kind of melded a little bit. I keep hearing this term from teams that I'm talking to now, because we've been looking at it very much from a personal perspective. And Eric did try and talk a little bit about what happens when you're working with somebody else. What about this idea of these themes set against the, I don't know if it's a fairly new thing or just it's become grown in popularity, but these ideas of sprints that that different teams are doing, where they take and they work, they focus for a week or 2 weeks on one common goal to get something done, and they make these, they have these, I guess it's like interval training, where they have these sprints and then they have these catch-up periods.
You mean the true meaning of hustle?
Yeah.
As a lot of people are talking about recently.
Does that come from Gary Vee, that idea of
no, it's not the real meaning, no.
No, it comes from there's Japanese productivity methodologies that kind of talk about weekly sprints and stuff as well, right? I what I do with theming for that is I have weekly themes. So that's where a weekly theme would come into play.
Right.
So, I want to work on a specific project this week. And then, my daily themes kind of attach
to
that.
So your daily themes encompass enough of the overall arching system and process for getting to your end, the end of your product that you can create. But what if we're doing a course? What if you're launching a book? Doesn't that throw everything off? Because the work that you're going to have to do around that is often unique. It's often very different, and it's often not in the regular mix. Eric, what about when you're prepping for social media marketing world? That throws your entire infrastructure and your entire organization into chaos for a period of time.
It does, but not if you haven't planned for it.
So for example,
why an overall, as we get closer, for example, it's like how we've talked about, we talked about starting your year and your monthly and your, for me, it's right now we're in May, but I'm looking at May through September 1st. That's kind of where my head is right now. And then I zoom in on, okay, what's May, what's June, what's July, what's August. And we do that with the conference. We look ahead by months and months. So,
another conference coming up, because now the virtual summit's the next big thing on the horizon, right?
In October. So,
yeah,
that we're not doing anything for right now, at least as far as I'm concerned. But come June, that'll be started, and then come July and August, we'll be into it, and closer and closer we get, the more time will be shifted towards that, and other things will be shifted out of the priority rotation.
So
have you ever changed your theme days, Mike, or did you come up with them once and then say this is it, and then they've just stayed?
I've changed them twice since the start of the year, very slightly. So I changed the name. I moved Monday used to be a writing day and Thursday was admin, and that wasn't working, so I switched Thursday. I just swapped Thursday and Monday.
So Monday is your admin day.
Yep, it is now.
You wake up Monday morning a little bit more depressed and not looking forward to the day as much as you do on Tuesday because it's admin? I know I would.
A little bit, yeah, to be honest. But I've also planned it out the Sunday, so I've kind of set up my three absolutes, for example, for that day that I want to get done. But I think that the monthly themes, so Steve, you mentioned a course. So if you and I decide that we're going to do a course and we want to get it out there, very quickly, and it's not part of my monthly theme, that's where a weekly theme can come in. I can say, okay, over the next 2 weeks, that's going to be where my overarching focus goes. So when I do admin work, it's going to be related to, hey, Steve, what's the code that I need for this to get up here? So it would be focused around that. But my monthly themes, I've themed every single month of the year except for July and August at this point. So I could say right now my focus is the productivity diet for the month. Next month, it's the podcast. And that could change because I've decided not to alter what my podcast is doing. So I've got to review that and say, hey, is that still matter? September is working on the Nowvember initiative, which I like to do every November. October is Nowvember again. And then November is I've got November. I think I've got November for Nowvember as well. And then December, it's all about outreach, right? So that's my overarching focus in that month. So I think that having those tent poles, those anchors, are really important, because then you drill down to the specifics as you go, right? You can say, okay, well, what do I need to do on that's admin work that's related to the productivity diet, because that's my overarching focus for the month. And then those three words for the year kind of help me decide, do I even need to do this or want to do this at all? Is it going to help my health? Is it going to promote helpfulness? Is it going to promote harmony? If it doesn't hit two of those three, then I just don't do it. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It scales both ways. That's why I like doing it this way, because I can theme a day and really get
you know, move the day forward, or but everything else leads itself up to those three words, which again is value based, is vision and mission based, which is where priority really, as you talked about, is where rubber meets the road up there, really.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's good to know.
And I think that actually hits on a great point there, is that if you've got those high overarching, like, guiding values or goals or priorities, then there are certain tasks that have to get broken down. You know, those are projects, if you will, and they have to be then broken down into steps of action towards achieving them. And that's where people get into the weeds with it, is I've got all these different tasks that go all these different ways to those fine, you know, end goals. But which ones am I supposed to do right now or next, yep, or next after that, et cetera? And we can't tell you that.
No.
You can, but you have to sit and do the homework and look at where are you at in the day, the week, the month, the year, in terms of what you've set up as deadlines for those things and what else you've got going on in life also.
And I think the other thing to consider is that, remember, you want to give yourself choices, but not too many choices.
Yes.
You know,
hence a theme today suddenly eliminates a bunch of choices for that.
It does.
Day.
It does, but not so many.
But not all of them.
Yes. Not so many that it doesn't allow you to move things forward. Right. So, yeah. I mean, it's like going to Costco saying, I want to buy ketchup. Well, okay, you can get a big tin of ketchup or three large bottles of ketchup, but they're one brand and you can't get small. Like, that's what you get to choose from. So your choice is buy big ketchup, buy three bottles of ketchup, or buy no ketchup at all. Right.
Or you have the person who metaphorically goes to the store and is even less organized and says, I just need to get groceries. Well, yep. Now, and they have a list, even if they have a list or even if they don't have a list, like, can you imagine the multitude of choices that you just listed out, then multiplied, you know, infinitely, I guess. So, and that's where most people find themselves when they haven't done any of the homework on this stuff.
Yep.
So how do they start doing that homework?
I mean, whenever I recommend this kind of stuff, I just say, you know, look at your day and figure out, like, how do you organize your week so that you'd say, okay, what's my overarching focus going to be on these days? I had one person when I did a talk in January, I talked about theming, and Laura was there actually. And the person came up to me afterward and they said, here are my themes. And they had Monday through Friday work, Saturday and Sunday play. I'm like, well, again, that's not really going to help you. And she said, but my work is so crazy. I'm like, okay, but what happens before work? What happens after work? So if you want to start somewhere, I would start there. Don't necessarily worry about the work day yet until you get this kind of ingrained and say, okay, on Monday, my overarching focus outside of the stuff that I usually do is going to be this. And you know what? Friday could be a Netflix night. If that's what you want to do, if you want to say, hey, every Friday night, I'm going to go home, watch Netflix. We're going to have a movie night. And that's what you could say that every Friday is, or it's date night or whatever it is. Like, you can do that. But the key is to make it consistent. So it stays, it's like a habit, you know, that way it stays ingrained. And then you might decide, you know what, I could do for my work week too. So maybe Monday I focus on this, Tuesday I focus on this.
I think Mike, if he's ever incarcerated, would be happy, happy, happy in prison. I think he would just love the structure. I'm just saying.
All right. Well, we'll see. I hope we never see. I hope we never see.
I don't end with that.
Unless you're arrested for being too darn smart, Mr. Vardy. Too darn smart.
And with that, we end this episode of the Productivity Prison Panel.
Oh, no.
It's Netflix Friday. We can't do anything else.
Oh, my God. Oh. This is, you know what?
It's again, every 2 weeks. I can't. I didn't get enough jackassery out of my system when I saw you live in Victoria.
Yeah, yeah. So. You know, it's about a mindset shift. All this stuff is about mindset shifting. And there, I mean, well, and I can't not possibly check email all the time, because what if I miss something? Well, it's still going to be there. Like, you have to challenge those boundaries a bit, both the boundaries external and the boundaries internal.
And to be fair, there are other ways that this can be folded in especially in an entrepreneur's productivity. As you're talking, I have blocked off on my calendar mornings every day of every week, every morning I have blocked off, and I just have a thing called productivity time blocked off.
Yeah.
The reason I did that in my calendar, Mike, is because of automated calendars, so that I could set up automatic when I allow people to book meetings with me.
Exactly.
To allow for that. So there, it isn't that big a leap for me to actually put topics in each of those productivity, in each of those production times.
But the thing is, you don't have to do that because you've slotted, if productivity time means like, what are these things? That's fine because you've created a structure there and you've done it horizontally.
And to be honest, I see the value in what you're saying though, because there are things, because there are things that I don't like to do. Sometimes I just don't do.
Sorry, Hectic Dad, that was great. He was anti-theming, Your Honor. I was charged with the murder of Steve Dotto. What's your defense? He was anti-theming, Your Honor.
He opened his email first thing in the morning. It drove me crazy. I warned him.
It was not a learning day.
No. Take out the garbage in the calendar. Come on, you can't blame a guy.
But to be fair, Steve, you'd probably be able to get away because you'd say, Mike, today's Murder Friday. Oh, I better. Actually, I'd probably make it Murder Monday for the alliteration.
Yeah. There you go.
Or Payback
Let's start there.
You can make it far more sweeping and Payback Thursday. That's what I'd like because I'd just like to be able to go after everybody. Having said all of that, I was actually being serious for a moment.
I recognize your frustration.
I'm very proud. You guys are both growing in leaps and bounds in my estimation. Mindful Murder Monday. Yes, it was mindful. It was the now kill year.
But no, I think, Steve, I think like a lot of people, they can't, their days are so dynamic. They say, well, I don't know how I could do a day. I can't theme a day. So let me theme a time block across
the week. Exactly. And that's where the making an appointment with yourself thing can come in really handy, is if theming a day is too much, make that half hour appointment with yourself for this one thing on your calendar.
And maybe you don't require a theme. You don't require, like, I get a feeling, Mike, that if you don't have a theme day, you would feel a little bit lost. You'd feel like there was a hole in the schedule and that chaos could ensue. Oh no, we could have fun and something unplanned happen if I don't have a schedule. Having said that, let me finish before you defend yourself.
No, I'm not. I'm going to actually agree with you.
But you need that structure. Having said that, I think a lot of us could really benefit from just taking, if we took our top three things that we really like to procrastinate, that we like to put off, that we don't like to do, and we added those into the mix as a theme, as a priority, prioritizing the things we don't like doing, that might actually end up being the biggest boost that a lot of us could realize in productivity.
And to your point, if I didn't have a theme day, then what would happen is I would end up checking a lot of boxes off because I would just go, but I wouldn't necessarily get the priority stuff taken care of. I would do a lot of these need to do's and very few want to do's just because I'd be like, well, let me just get as much done as possible. That's what I would do. Big thanks to Eric and Steve for allowing me to use this for a podcast episode. Again, I had a great time talking about it. I'm not going to keep you any longer. I want you to focus on the priority of the day, priority of the week, priority of the month, whatever you want to do. But if you have any questions or feedback, I'd love to hear it. I'd love to hear ratings and reviews show up in iTunes as well. I'd love to see those there. So if you enjoyed this show and you want to subscribe, please do so. And if you want to leave a rating and review, I'd love to see that in iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast. If you want to support the show as a Patreon supporter, you can do that as well. Just go to patreon.com/productivityist. There are perks there that will give you a ton of extra stuff. As a supporter of the show. And of course, we offer a weekly bonus episode there as well. So that's something that falls outside of the realm of what we do here on the public podcast every single week. That's it for this time around. Thanks again for joining me. I'm Mike Vardy, the host of the Productivityist podcast, founder of Productivity, productivity strategist, and priority fiend, reminding you to stop guessing and start going.